Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope that you enjoy this encouraging message. For more information on our church family, visit freechapel.org/OC.
If you have a Bible, I want you to just grab. I'm just going to just continue the thought real quick. Thanks, bro. On the back of last week, if you were not here last week, then I don't think you're going to make it to heaven. But if you're not here last week, you can catch it up online. But we talked about grace for granted. And we looked at a verse in Romans where Paul says to us, or said to he was speaking of the people, and he said that they knew God, that they had a relationship with God. But then the next few words that we read is, it says that although they knew God, they did not glorify him. So they didn't value what they had. It wasn't that they didn't have relationship with him. They had relationship, but they took that relationship for granted. And we talked about what it is to take God's grace for granted. And so I sort of want to pick up and just give you a quick little thought. Because where we finished was we finished in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. I'm sorry, and verse 18. And we finished here because the last point we talked about pertaining to God's grace was that we need to grow in grace. You remember that? 12 of you, I'm so glad that I put all of that time into that message. But we need to grow in grace. And so I was just this week as I was praying, I felt like the Holy Spirit just get me to zero in on that verse. And so I want to pick up from there and I want to give you another thought. But the thought that I want to give you just to help me keep on track is I want to preach from this title, More Like Him. More Like Him. And I want to talk about growing, and I want to talk about what it is to grow. And I want to, right up front, I want to establish the goal of growing in our walk with God is to become more like Him. Peter puts out this challenge to us in these two verses. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfast, being led away with the error of wicked, but grow, say grow. Say it like you did not lose an hour's sleep. Say grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Understand Him more is what he's saying. Prior to these couple of verses, he's talking about people that are reading at the time, people that are reading scripture and they don't understand what they're reading. So they twist it and they manipulate it and they do it, he says, to their own destruction. Works out worse for them. So rather than adapting and growing their life to fit and follow God's word, that they twist and distort God's word to suit the way in which they want to live their life. I know this doesn't relate to us because we're much better Christians than they were, but so they take out of God's word what they like and they leave what they don't. And even what they take, they change and they manipulate it so that they can stay the way they are. And what Peter says is, in order to combat this, as an antidote for this, because what this does, and the verse said, it creates an instability in people. Because the word of God is a framework for our life. And when we follow the framework of that which created us, we establish a sense of stability. I don't know about you, but if ever we need more stability, it's in our life and in our culture, it's right now. We have a lot of instability. We have very unstable times, and frankly, we have very unstable people. Don't look at your neighbor, that wouldn't be nice. But you can just turn on the news for a second and realize how divided and unstable we are. And Peter here gives us the antidote for this instability. And he challenges us with these few words. And he says, church, The only way you are going to stabilize, if you don't stay where you are, you're going to have to grow. You're going to have to make some changes. What you did yesterday is not going to work for today. Even though you've perhaps been in church a long time, heard a lot of sermons and sung a lot of songs, the worst thing you can do that will create instability in your life is to remain stagnant in your walk with the Lord. And Peter says to them, you need to grow. And I love this as a challenge for us because Peter, in my mind, as I look at Peter and Peter's life, Peter has earned some stripes. I'll receive this challenge from Peter because Peter is somebody that was a disciple of Jesus, is an apostle. The birth of the church happened in and through Peter and through Peter's sermon. Peter was martyred, crucified upside down. Peter was a man who walked in faith and integrity. He did not live a life of mediocrity. If Peter tells me to grow, then I receive that challenge. As I look at the early church and I look at what they did, and you read the book of Acts and you read early on in Acts chapters 3 and 4 and you see the birth of the church. I'm so inspired by it. I'm inspired by their faith. These people were under such oppression. The Romans were out to kill them. The Jewish people hated them. But they continued to believe. And as a result of their faith in God, their raw and adulterated faith in God, miracles started to break out in the church. And sick people started getting healed, so much so that you read about where Peter, there was such a hunger in the people for their healing that Peter would walk past people and scripture says that his shadow would heal them. I don't know about you, but I'm challenged by that. So when this guy tells me to grow, I lean into that a little bit. But we need to understand that nothing grows if it's not fed. And so if we're to look at our spiritual lives, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I spiritually fed? So by way of an analogy is if my physical body needs physical food, then my spirit also needs spiritual food. So spiritual food, you could say, is the church, community, worship, prayer, and the word. And so as I consider that and I ask myself that question, am I being fed? To be honest, my first answer was, well, yeah, I am. And when you think about the church now in comparison to the church back then, we are not starved from spiritual food. You can drive down the street and every single street corner has a different church. Depending on your style of church, whatever style of church you like, you can probably find it somewhere. If you like someone that's not going to scream at you as much as I do, and you want someone that's going to be a little quieter, listen, you can find a church for that. If you don't like a church this size and you want something much bigger, you can go and find a church that's bigger than this. But if you don't like a church that's this big and you want a tiny little house church, you know what? You can go and find, there are great house churches. If you like a preacher that wears a suit, then you can go find a preacher that wears a suit. If you like one that wears robes, you can go find one that wears robes. We're in Orange County. You can find a preacher that wears shorts and flip-flops if you want. But you know what? If you decide that you don't want to get out of bed in the morning and you want, I'm not picking at you, church online, but just roll with me. If you don't want to come to church, guess what? That's okay. We will bring church to you. And we will video it and we will send it to you and you can lay in bed and you can have bacon and eggs in bed next to your wife watching the church on TV. we've got you covered. But if you're so busy and you don't want to go to church and you don't want to sit in bed, do you know what you can do? You can drive in your car and put your little ear pods in, and you can have a coffee in one hand and steer with the other while receiving the sermon and not even touching anything. You can receive the sermon that way. If you want, you can open your iPad. If you don't want to just listen to it, but you want to watch it while you're on the go, you can download it on your phone and you can walk through Target while you're watching church. If you like worship music, you can check it out on Spotify. You can go to Apple Music. If you're old school and you have a CD player, you can play CDs of worship music. The point I'm making, church, is we're not starved of spiritual food. If you compare what we have available to us today in comparison to the church in Acts, we outdo them 10 times over. They had just but a few scriptures and the old Torah and a couple guys that walked with Jesus, and they would sit around and they had such a desire within them that the little bit of food they had maybe did not fill them in a moment, but because of their hunger, it produced fruit in their life straight away. So as I look at us today and I look at the church, I'm so challenged because you know what? I actually don't think that we're growing. Because when I look at the church back then and I look at the church today and I see how much division there is in the church today and I see how much sin we're willing to accept in our lives and not deal with as long as no one can see it, and I look at the level of hypocrisy and gossip and the divorce rate in the church, that being the same in the church as it is in the world, and that church statistics tell us that over 65% of men in church are addicted to pornography and over 30% of women in church are addicted to pornography, I'm forced to face the true fact of the modern day church in the Western world. I don't think that we're growing, but we're definitely being fed. So what's going on here? What's the problem? Shouldn't we be, If you're to look at Acts, just shouldn't we be exploding? And I'm not going to try to be like a grumpy Gordon this morning, okay? I want you to live encouraged, but I do want to challenge us, because if I don't challenge us, we won't lean into what Peter's telling us to do and we'll start thinking that where we are is okay. And where you are might be okay, where you are might be good, but it's not good if you're not called to be good and you're called to be great. Because if you're called to be great and you're going to stay at good, then you are settling for good. But I believe that there's a mandate upon us as the church of Jesus Christ. And I think now is the best time more than ever before for us to embrace what we're called to be. But we're not going to do it if we do not grow. So I think the challenge is not more spiritual food. I think we've got enough. In fact, I'll dare say, I think we have too much. Because the goal of growth is not to get full. The goal of growth is to produce fruit. But we've established in the modern Western church that the goal of growth is to just get full, to know all the songs, to have all the sermons, and be able to quote all the scriptures. But if it's not producing fruit in our life, then we're getting fat and staying the same and we're not becoming more like Him. And Peter gives us this challenge. And the three things that I want you to write down in the next few minutes, and I'm going to go through them real quickly. We want to be more like Him. We've got to grow. And the three things that I want you to write down pertaining to growth in our life is, I want you to write down the word process, I want you to write down protection, and I want you to write down practice. We need to know that growth is a process. I wish it wasn't. I wish you could just go to church one day and then all of a sudden you walked out like Jesus. but I'm so much more screwed up than Jesus. It takes a long process and more than one service for me to grow and become like him. Growth is a process. In fact, it was a process even for Jesus. Luke 2 and verse 52, it says, and Jesus increased. Say the word increase. We love to talk about increase, don't we, in church? Who doesn't want increase in their life? I want increase. You want increase in your family? Well, maybe some of you don't want more kids, but like you want increase in your marriage? You want increase in your finances? How many of you want increases in your finances? Raise your hand. Rest of you are lying. How many of you want increase in your family? How many of you want increase in your life? We love increase. We're all about increase better. I want to make God, I want you to make life better. This is what we want. You want me to tell you the interpretation, the Greek interpretation for the word increase? It means exactly this. It means to be beaten forward and lengthened out by hammering. The same way a blacksmith hammers metal to shape it. How many of you want increase now? Whoa, no. No, thank you. Not down for a beating today. But growth's a process. Growth's a process. Do you know what a blacksmith does with metal before he beats it and shapes it? He puts it in fire to soften it. Scripture, fire in Scripture represents two things real quickly. Fire in Scripture represents the presence of God and the problems of life. The presence of God would often show up and manifest itself by way of fire. But then the other thing in Scripture that represents, that fire represents, is it represents problems. We know only too well the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're thrown into the fire. So what's great is, and also challenging, is both those settings, the presence of God and the problems of life. You know what they do? They soften us. Or should I say it like this? They can soften us. The presence of God and the problems of life. The presence of God is an option. Problems of life are inevitable. I say it's an option because you don't have to hunger for the presence of God. You don't have to do what we were talking about early when I first got up here and talked about the manifest presence of God. You can be somebody that say, you know what? I'm not down for that. It's a little bit too soppy. It's a little bit too rah-rah up in the clouds, so I'm not going to do it. That's fine, but you won't grow. Because what the presence of God does is it prepares us to be molded and shaped. The presence of God softens us. It does what the fire does to metal for the blacksmith. It prepares it to grow. And you know what else does? The problems of life. Consider it what? Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. So the testing of your faith may develop perseverance, character, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is a process. And you know what? It sucks. But if we don't embrace the process of growth, we won't grow. We won't become more like him. And we won't produce any fruit in our life. And we will build a very wide church, but a very shallow church. But if we want to go deeper in God and affect greater change in our community, we have to embrace the process of growth. You know what other thing growth is? As we grow, growth is actually protection for our life. Because as I grow, I become stronger. And what's great about the two settings of growth, one being God's presence and one being life's problems, is one prepares me for the other. And when I know what it is to grow in the presence of God, it prepares me to be the person that I need to be to embrace the problems of life. And so growth becomes my protection. In fact, in Psalms 105, verse 24, it says this, he, speaking of God, he's this word again, but this is it in the Hebrew form. He increased his people greatly and he made them stronger. In other words, he grew them. He stretched them. He deepened them. They started to produce fruit. Then the next verse, then he turned the heart of the enemy against the people. So what did God do here? God prepared them by growing them for the battle that they would step into. No conflict that God allows in your life he has not already prepared you for. No conflict, nothing. In fact, if we understand that my steps are ordered by him, every single step I take has purpose in it. So even when I step into what appears to be conflict and what appears to be a battle, if I understand that every single step was ordered by him, then the last step he prepared me and the next step is what he prepared me for. And if I understand this process of growth, I step into life's problems and I step into them as protection. It's only through a person that has embraced the process of growing that we can turn obstacles into opportunities. Look at the life of David. David had no idea what he was about to step into. His dad called him over and he said, "Bro, I need you to be the Uber Eats for your brothers. So grab this and take it down to them." So David becomes a little delivery boy, having no idea that this step, he would step straight into a battle, straight into a fight. But what had he done, been doing the days and the season before that? He'd been growing. He'd been growing who he was. While he could have been offended, he could have felt forgotten. He could have felt left out. He could have felt left behind. He could have felt insecure. He could have felt like life has been bad to me. He could have felt like a victim. He made a decision to say, you know what? My steps are ordered by God. So even though where I am right now is not ideal and it doesn't look very kingly around me, I'm going to grow. And I'm going to grow what I've got. And I've got a sling and I've got a stone and I've got a couple lines of bread. So I'm going to take these jokers out. It's just where God's got me. It's not ideal. It's just where I am. Having no idea that one day he'd be doing that. And the next day a door would open. In the most bizarre manner that he would be asked to take a delivery of food to his brothers. But because he had embraced the process of growth, when he stepped into the battle, he was protected. Why? Because he had grown and he had everything he needed to win that battle that was in front of him. And some of us, we want the journey. We want what's ahead of us. We want to step into the next season, but we don't want to grow into the person that he needs us to be and able to survive the giants in the next season. Because what do we say in church? New levels. How long have you guys been in church? Like, is it your first time here? New levels? New devils. I want the new level. I don't want the devils there though. And what I do is, I get so focused on the new level and I start pushing for it. And I ignore God's timing. And I don't be patient because I think I know better than him sometimes. And I force the next level. And God will never mess with our own will. So I say, God, I got this. So I force myself into a level that I'm not ready for. Only to find the devil that's occupying that territory take me to the cleaners, and then I go back with my tail between my legs saying, God, I'm sorry, I'll just do whatever you want next time. And he says, don't worry, your time will come, but right now I need you to grow right where you are. Right where you are. You're frustrated because you haven't had the promotion? Grow where you are. You've been single for more than you would like, longer than you would like, and you want that person to come into your life? Grow where you are. You want the business to grow. You want it to explode. You want the next level. Grow where God has you right now. And then you will be covered and protected for what you want to step into next. The last thing, real quick, we write it down, is the word practice. We have to practice this whole process protection journey. Because I want to practice it so much that it becomes my normal way of operating. Because whatever I practice becomes a pattern or a pattern. Shut up. Whatever I practice becomes a pattern. And what is a pattern in my life becomes and forms a habit. And under pressure, we will always default back to our habits. And so if this becomes a habit in my life where I embrace growth and the growth process wherever I am, this is how I move forward and become more like Him. I want to real quickly compare two characters in the Bible. I want to compare Daniel and I want to compare David. Both in time of battle, one battle for Daniel was that the king sent out a decree that no one is allowed to pray, and if you pray, then you're going to get sent to the lion's den. David was also in a battle. Scripture says that at the time of war, when kings went off to battle. So both are in a season of battle. When Daniel hears of the battle, the Bible tells us that he goes to a high place in his house and prays. And then the word said this, he did what he had done before. What did Daniel do in times of battle? Daniel did what his habit was. Look at David. David in times of battle, when kings went off, in times of war, when kings went off the battle, what did David do? He went also to a high place, but for a different reason. He went to the rooftop and he's walking on the rooftop, and that's when he sees Bathsheba. It wasn't because David was a bad dude. David had a good heart. He just had bad habits. Scripture says that he was a man after God's own heart. But he just had bad habits. And if we can adjust the habits in our life to embrace this whole process of growing, then we can move forward, because when the pressure's on, we will default back to what we're used to. And if we embrace this process of growth, it molds us and shapes us. And you know what? We become more like Him. And if we don't establish that that's the goal, we will deflect from this process, because there's nothing easy about this. There's nothing easy about this. The goal of walking with the Lord is that we would be more like Jesus. What's the goal for your marriage? To be more like Jesus. What's the goal for us as parents? To parent more like Jesus. What's the goal for students and single people to be more like Jesus? What's the goal for business people and stay-at-home mums and dads to be more like Jesus? And I'm getting pretty sick to death of being more like Ben. And I keep learning it the hard way. And one of the greatest ways to grow, in fact, this is our homework for this week, is every single day this week, I want you to do at least one thing that requires you to deny your will and embrace His. Just one thing each day. For some of you, that might be the way you drive to work down the 405. Because every single time I deny my will and I embrace His, I grow. I grow out of Ben and I grow into more like Jesus. And this is the greatest goal for us to establish in our life, so that when people look at us, they don't see us, they see Jesus. I'm about to close. I was reading about John Wesley.
One of the greatest revivalists in the Church of England. It was John Wesley that was responsible for revival that birthed the Methodist Church. And then the Church of England, where it was incredibly religious and traditional, John Wesley would get up and he would start to preach and thousands of people would gather. And they were asking him, someone was writing an article on him and they were asking him and they asked him this question and they said, how do you gather such big crowds? And John Wesley said, I simply set myself on fire for Jesus and people come and watch me burn. And that stirred my heart. Because I thought of us, what if we made a decision to say, you know what, today I want to be so on fire for Jesus when I go into my workplace that people will watch me and know that there's something happening in them that goes beyond who they are and touches who He is. This is the goal, to be more like Him.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. To watch our latest message, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Free Chapel OC.